champagne by the lakeside. When the evening comes, when the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.
Welcome to episode 156 of Taking the Charge Podcast, with you from Zagreb, Croatia. This is David Hein of Hein News. Thanks for stopping by yet again. Special day. If you do the math, 156, 156 episodes of a weekly podcast, you'll quickly figure out that today, this episode, is the three-year anniversary. Of the show. I laugh, giggle, whatever, just because it's amazing to think that 3 years ago this week, we put together this Taking the Charge podcast for the first time, and it's gone quite a long way, just amazing to think that over the years, so many people have given me so much support, given us so much support in this adventure, and I just really want to throw my praise out there to everybody. Without the feedback from you guys, I don't know what you guys are thinking about it, so. And over the course of the 3 years, it's been nothing but positive feedback, I really have to, I'm really thankful, that people, take time out of their busy schedules, or fit me into their run or on their commute or whatever. That people take time out of their schedules and care enough about the things I have to say or the things that the people who we talk to have to say. Just a huge thank you to everybody out there who has made this an absolutely wonderful 3 years. Don't worry, I'm not planning on stopping. I don't know if I'll make it another 3 years, but let's just go for next week as well. And then after that, the next week after that. Over the last couple of months, I've been trying to figure out what I wanted to do for this show. And, there was the 150 episode. This is the actual three-year anniversary. But I think me once again, as I do, a couple times, just thanking everybody for listening is probably enough. If you want to go back and listen to archives of great interviews, whatever, go for it. There's so much stuff out there. And I'm sure over the next, if there is another 3 years, I'm sure the show will adapt after, in that time as well. It is where it's at right now, and I'm just going to enjoy it as it is right now. And if it changes over time, then, we'll enjoy those changes as well. So I guess let's get on to, let's get into business, if you will. Obviously, Zagreb means that I'm in Croatia for the Eurobasket, the first round, Group C, that being the group with Croatia, Greece, Slovenia, Netherlands, Macedonia, and Georgia. And we've gone through the first 3 days of the group, and Greece are... really showing that they are a totally legitimate candidate to take a spot on the podium. The return of Vasilis Spanoulis just gives the Greeks so much more of a presence, so much more of a dominating factor. You also have Coach Katsikaris, you know, called the masterminds. You have Zizis, you have Seleukas, you have Kalitis. You know, just an amazing group of guards there to do great things. You have the absolute X factor in Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have Kof, the you have the low down, you have the post duo of Kofus and Baroušas. You have Printezis, Papanikolaou. You know, there's a lot of different factors that make this a great team, and I don't have any problem with them going to the final. I had them originally going to the final and losing to France. I don't see any reason really to change the Greek part of that. Croatia are 2-1, and they. They're playing solid basketball. Krunoslav Simon has been fantastic. Luka Saric has actually been very good. Dario Saric has been Dario Saric. You have Bogdanović who picked up a nasty concussion, you know, head against head. Hezonja kind of stepped up things when he replaced Bogdanović. And Ante Tomić, man, you know, just, you know, with that much, with that much of a skill set and that height, that build, it's really a shame that he's, let's say soft, you know, just there's so much more he could do, and it's a shame that he doesn't do it, but, and I mean, that might hurt them down the road, so. You know, like I said, Zoric is playing really, really well, but, you know, can he keep it up for another five games? That's kind of a question. Slovenia, I just don't think are deep enough to go too deep into the tournament. Zoran Dragic is here. He's playing pretty well. Omić, Alen Omić, who's playing pretty well down low. Slokar is doing some, you know, is helping things and going outside. And Prepelic is playing really well. Kleiman, just great shooter, but he's doing other stuff as well. And Jaka Klobuchar, you know, it's a good mix, but they just don't have the horses to go very far. Once they get to the knockout stage and the fourth team from the knockout stage, you know, we still don't know yet. If Georgia can knock off Macedonia by 4 points, then they are through. Well, they're not 100% through, but then they have very good chances of advancing. And, I'd probably say they're probably the strongest of those teams. I mean, Macedonia's been pretty solid. You just look at a team that like Georgia, and I think they have a better chance of doing some damage in the knockout stage than maybe than Macedonia do. Netherlands have been a nice group. You know, they've been close. They upset Georgia in the first game and have been close a couple other times for a little bit. And, you know, Coach said at the press conference yesterday, you know, people are going to tell me that my team's playing really well, but I don't want to hear it. I want, as a sportsman, I want wins. And that's the only thing that matters. And, you know, probably one of the players, you know, a couple of people have said that, you know, one of the revelations of the tournament has been Charlon Kloof, the guard, for Netherlands. But, really it's just because people, you know, didn't know Dutch basketball, myself included, you know, so you see a guy from a team that you've really never seen before. Of course, he's going to be solid. You know, of course, they're going to have a couple of solid players. They're in Eurobasket. So I think that, you know, he's definitely jumping up radars of basketball observers. nice solid player. Klofa is athletic guard. Seems to run a pretty decent point guard. So that's the group here in Zagreb. I don't think there have been, other than the Netherlands actually getting past Georgia on the first game day, there really haven't been too many surprises. Greece had to come back, but knocked off Croatia. Croatia beat Slovenia. I think it's probably pretty a safe, you know, it's pretty safe to say that there's not too many surprises here. Looking at the other groups, just kind of really quick, you know, I haven't been able to watch a lot of the other groups, but you look at Group A, you have France have been not super, but they've been solid. So they're undefeated. Israel's 2-1. Bosnia's now 1-2 after absolutely magical victory in overtime over Israel. You have Poland playing very well at 2-1. Their only loss coming against the French. Finland, obviously, you know, a contender, obviously, to make it to the next round. You know, they picked up their first victory over Russia on a jumper by Kaponen with 3.5 seconds left or so. It's a tight group. You know, France seem destined to take the number one spot, and then pretty much everything is still open. Russia at 0-3. You know, you look at the record, and that doesn't look very promising. But you look at the point differential; they lost by 3 points to Israel, they lost by 3 points to Poland, and they lost by 2 points against Finland. So, you know, they still have games against France and Bosnia and Herzegovina, so it would still be possible. A victory over France would be absolutely humongous, still seems kind of unlikely, but you know, that's why they play the games. Go over to Group D really quick. A mess. You know, the Belgian victory over Lithuania, you could tell by the highlights, by the replays, that Lojeski clearly tapped the ball in after the red lights have gone off, so the basket shouldn't have counted. That game goes to overtime, and I don't know if Belgium can hold off Lithuania in overtime, especially Valančiūnas, who has been fantastic here. So with that, Belgium, Czech, Lithuania, and Latvia are all 2-1. And then Estonia knocked off Ukraine for their first win. Ukraine 0-3. So a real mess. I think we'll know a little bit more after today's games, Wednesday's games. Belgium playing the Czechs, that'll clear up the picture a little bit. Then the final day, you have the Czechs against Lithuania, which will have obviously be a big game. Should be. I hope the guys in Riga have their tiebreakers. The breakdown of their tiebreaks. Group B in Berlin. Just seems like a really fantastic group, but that's no surprise to anybody. You know, it's you know, Serbia's 3-0 has been comfortable. Last second victory over Germany on the Bolica jumper layup. Italy lose to Turkey, almost lose to Iceland, and then race pass Spain 105-98. Not much defense in that game. Turkey use a huge first quarter and beat Germany. So you know, you have Serbia at 3-0, and then you have Italy and Turkey at 2-1, and Spain and Italy and Spain and Germany at 1-2. So obviously, and you know, that fourth place team will most likely go and play against France. So still plenty of unbelievable games left. You know, you see Turkey against Serbia, Italy against Germany, Serbia against Italy, Germany against Spain. So just unbelievable games still to be played there in Berlin. Yeah, so all in all, I think a pretty great breakdown. Yeah, Group B clearly is the toughest group, but I think there's still plenty of drama in all of the other groups as well. So I think fans can be pretty happy. And then come Saturday is the knockout, which is what everybody loves, you know, so much as well anyhow. So we're getting there. I want to actually talk a little bit about the FIBA Americas, but I'm going to actually wait until after the interviews. As you expect, I have been grabbing some interviews here, and so want to give you a few of them here. Going to start with Worthy de Jong from Netherlands. Obviously, it's first time that they're here since 1989, so 26 years. So I'll start with him, and then I'll move over to Uroš Slokar from Slovenia, and then we'll do Jacob Pullin from Georgia. Sorry about that. And then Predrag Samardžić from Macedonia, and we'll finish it off with Kostas Papanikolaou. So once again, Worthy de Jong, and then go move over to Uroš Slokar, Jacob Pullin, Predrag Samardžić, and Kostas Papanikolaou. So you won't hear from me for a little bit, but I'm sure you'll probably enjoy these interviews. So we will catch you on the other side of those. Worthy, we are here at the EuroBasket 2015. How does it feel to be here?
It feels great. I mean, for us, the Netherlands, you know, it comes around once every 26 years. Well, at least the last time was 26 years ago. So it feels great. It feels, you know, it feels like we accomplished something already. You know, even though we haven't played any games yet, you know, right now it's very important for the Dutch for Dutch basketball to get to uplift, to help us put the Netherlands on the map.
So tell me, what do you remember about the last appearance of the Dutch at the EuroBasket?
To be honest, I don't remember anything. You know, I was 26 years ago. I was one. So.
Exactly. So you're 1 year old. Do you have any memories of?
No, not at all. I can't recall. I can't recall. You know, there's some people that have been there, and they come up with stories. But
what do you think of when? Okay, so it's 20. You know, it's you know 1989. You know. What do you think of that? You know that you guys that it took that long, especially knowing that you know that the Netherlands, you know, in football they're such a huge power, and other sports, you know, some winter sports they have, you know some great success as well. What do you think of that? That it's taken you guys this long to get back?
It's tough, you know, because if we look at basketball in Holland, you know, there's been back then there's a great period where there's more money in it. In the past couple of years, money's been going pretty down in our country.
There's no money too. There was even no money.
Yeah, you know, well, we had last year and 2 years ago, you know, with the Dutch national team, we had struggled with a lot of money. Yeah. That's definite. But right now, we in a great position. And thinking about that, the last time was 26 years ago. We need to make this one worth it. You know, every second, every minute, every practice we get, every game we get, we got to leave everything we have on the floor. And I think that's going to help us. You know, that's going to help Dutch basketball.
Talk about that whole saga, because, you know, I mean, you were there for, you know, for it all. You know, where, you know, coach calls all these guys and only a couple show up and everything else. Talk about that whole period and your recollections of it.
Well, it was tough. You know, the beginning was especially tough, seeing how much people actually showed up. You know, I don't think a lot of people looking from the outside had any confidence in us. You know, and even though we started playing well, it still took the people looking inside out, outside in. It took them a while before they actually had some confidence in us that we gonna make something. The team we had last year had a lot of heart. And don't get me wrong, I definitely don't think we missed out here. You know, I think each one of these players is willing to leave everything on the floor every night. But last year, what made us so successful is that we were there to prove everybody wrong. You know, leave everything on the floor. We had heart. We had it was an honor to play for our country, and that's what made us successful, and that's what's got to make us successful every night. We can't come on the floor and think that we can beat them with 80% or maybe not even 100. You know, they say, you know, you got to give 150%. 100 is the max you can give. But, you know, just with that saying, you know, you got to go in the game every time. Leave everything you have that game. You know, tomorrow's another day. But today, you got to leave everything because, you know, we have chances to surprise people.
How good does it feel to know that a team that, all right, it's a country that's still young, but there's still so much storied history of those players, a team like Montenegro's home and you guys are here? A team that you took out in the qualifiers.
Well, I actually met some of the guys in the elevator in our hotel that was actually rooting for Montenegro. They wasn't happy about that, but it feels good. It feels good that we showed a lot of people that we can play basketball. You know, and if we look at the statistics, overall we have the tallest people in the world. So there's got to be somewhere that we can find the right chemistry and the right ingredients to make this work. I have faith that in the future, after this EuroBasket appearance, it's going to get better. It's going to get better, and I hope that I'll be here for it. I hope that a lot of players will stick to it, and we can grow to become a very good team.
You're one of six guys that were at the qualifiers last year. Do you guys have like a little bond as well, just an added bond besides the team that besides the full team bond that, you know, we were there to kind of to get us here?
Yeah, I think you know, some of the players that were here last year also played together at club teams in Holland. You know, so besides that, we played together last year. You know, we've created a bond over the years playing with each other in the club teams. So I think yeah, we have something to add to it. The importance of a lot of things is to create a bond, a family. You know, and I think we have that here. And I think that was also one of the things that we had last year, why we were successful. You know, the bond, the family, it's so much easier to fight for somebody that you just know.
Those battles too.
Yeah,
so many battles together.
Exactly, you know, friends off the court, friends on the court, it makes it easier to fight for each other.
You guys will know within 2 days what your fate is. You guys have a good idea, at least. You know, you start with Georgia and then go to play Macedonia. Are you guys happy about that? That you're going to go at it right away, knowing that these are the biggest. These are definitely the bigger two games. Talk about that.
These are definitely the two most important games for us. Of course, we're going to take it one game at a time. We're looking at Georgia first. Our chances, you know, are really good against these teams right now. To start against them might just give us a little advantage, I must say, you know, because they actually have a couple of days to figure out how we play. But I think we played a really good game in Greece against Turkey. It got us a little, you know, a lot of confidence. And hyped up, and I think that we can put this right into this game, that first game, and seeing that that's a really good game to play, and our chances are decent or to good, then yeah, I like it.
What would it mean to get a victory in one of those two games?
Well, that just means we are one step closer to becoming better as Dutch basketball. Of course, the most perfect thing is to win both of them and see what happens. But right now, it would be great, you know. But we take it one game at a time. We have our five, so we just have to work hard. And those first two, we win one, take it to the next one. Take that confidence, take that little hype that's gonna bring us. Keep going, keep rolling.
What do you guys have to do? Last question. What do you have to do to really? Okay, defense. Obviously, you have to play, you know, tough defense. But what do you guys really have to do to be successful here?
Well, as you say, defense has always been one of our main priorities or one of our main focuses. And I think what we've been missing in the past is aggression and finishes. You know, we when we played our last tournament in Greece, we had a lot of good looks, but misses. You know, it was easy misses, and that's something we need to definitely work on, the misses. And defense always got to be on top. Defense wins games, and offense will just vibe off of that.
Maybe your thoughts in general. Day before, you guys have been a regular in the quarterfinals. Obviously, you're not thinking that far in advance, but there are a certain amount of expectations for you guys. Thoughts about the tournament one day before?
Yeah, of course, we don't think too far. We have really tough group. Our team changed a lot of new players, but our goals, our expectations are more or less the same. Of course, go to France, and there every game is different. And of course, first rule is to come to quarterfinal.
What about you and how you think your game has developed, and what are you kind of expecting to kind of do here?
Of course, I'm more experienced than I was before, so I expect a lot from myself. But more or less, here is most important is team. We have 12 good players. All 12 players can be on the court, and I think that especially for the first game tomorrow against Croatia, if we want to win first game, that we must be like 100% concentrate. And I hope that will be, and we expect to win.
You played last season at Ulm in Germany. It was a new league for you. What did you think about the league and in general?
Yeah, league is good. Actually, it's better every year. And also, like everything, organization in Germany is on a highest level, on the court, out of the court, and that's why also teams. Are improving, let's say that. You have, I don't know, two EuroLeague teams, five in EuroCup. So yeah, league is really strong, and I was happy that I could play there, and I was also happy with my game.
Mm-hmm. Zoran obviously went over to the States to play in the NBA. He's obviously also going to be one of your main leaders here. How do you think he's changed since he's gone there and now he's back with you guys? You know, what do you see different in him?
Yeah, he's improving in his shooting. He was like a special guy with the energy since mm-hmm. he started to play basketball. But right now he's dangerous out of the paint. He can shoot well three threes, and I think that he's even more dangerous for other players.
Another guy I want to ask you about is Alan Omich. Obviously, you know, he's one of the big guys that's going to need to eventually play more and more of an important role in the post for you guys in the future. You know, gain a lot of confidence this season. Where do you see him and how far he's been able to come so far?
Also very important for us. He's really big and strong. Also, a little, he's more experienced than last year. And of course, we count a lot to help us. And maybe I think he's the only like really real five man, mm-hmm. and we expect a lot from him.
Yeah. What do you guys have to do to really achieve the goals that you have? What one or two things this team absolutely has to do?
I think the most important for us is like energy. We must put our hearts on the court, like how we say. Energy and good defense. Our coach is expecting from us. Just the first thing is defense. We must play like a team. And again, energy will be the most important for us.
All right. So, day before the tournament's about to start. Thoughts about how the team's looking?
No, I think we're in good shape now. You know, we started the summer off and getting in shape, and that was one of the most important things. And we've been practicing hard, so hopefully, you know, we can come out and take it one game at a time. That's the important thing about this, that every game matters.
You guys got a lot of depth and a lot of experience at quite a few positions. Talk about the expectations you guys have coming in here.
Well, you know, for us, like I said, it's about going one game at a time. You know, a lot of teams get ahead of themselves in these type of tournaments and worried about the third game or the fourth game. But, you know, the first game is an important game, and then after that, the next game is important. But, you know, guys like Zaza, Gio, Toko, you know, we got a lot of guys that's done this before, and a lot of guys with just experience at basketball, period, you know. So, for us, that should be a strong part in our group, and if we could just manage to stay in the top four, you know, it's about surviving.
You guys were without Shangalia at the beginning of the preparations. How important is he to make sure that he's going to stay on board with you?
He's really important. You know, he's a great four man for us. He's athletic. You know, he makes plays from his position. He can shoot the ball. You know, so for us, that it's important having him there, and also just having his defensive ability. You know, he runs hard. He rebounds the ball, so you know that gives our four spot a lot of depth, especially when we can play Victor at the four also.
Zaza's obviously been a guy that has plenty of experience also NBA. What are you expecting from him here?
You know, just consistency. You know, just, you know, for him to control the paint and, you know, make teams double to get us open shots. You know, a lot of teams are going to focus in on him and try to make sure that they limit his touches, and for us, that's what we want. We want people to double and get us wide open shots. So for us, it's just about, you know, feeding the big guy, keeping him happy, and letting him control the paint.
It's like for you to be here.
It's exciting, you know. It's a great experience, especially with me being able to play in Zagreb this season. You know, it's a great experience just being in the city early and, you know, getting to see the beautiful facility that's in the city. So for me, it's a great experience, and I just want to win some games.
Everybody says, you know, you guys have been hit by injuries. Do you guys even think of that? I mean, injuries is not necessarily a skill, but it's a trait. What do you guys think of when that comes up?
It's tough, you know. Health, being healthy is very important. Being healthy is just as important as playing well. You know, you can't control that every night, but you want to stay healthy. And a lot of teams that win games are because they're healthy. So for us, you know, we just try to limit the contact in practice, and, you know, try to play on a safe mode before going into something important like this. You know, you don't want to go too hard in practice and have a freak injury like that. So, you know, the only thing we can do is try to play through it, and hopefully that if someone does go down, it's not serious.
You guys do have some depth, though, that if somebody does go down, just not too many of them, right?
Yeah, you know, we have some depth at the five, the four, you know, guard position, but, you know, like you said, we can't afford too many injuries.
Yeah. Without giving too many secrets away, you know, what do you think? Obviously, defense, you're going to have to play good defense, but what do you think is going to be maybe something that you guys really need to do? You know, whatever, have your, you know, four or fives be able to step out and hit threes? You know, what is something that you guys really going to have to be able to do to have success here?
Rebound the ball. I think rebounding is the most important thing because that helps us get into our transition offense. And, you know, it's just hard to guard transition offense no matter what defense you have. You know, you can have the best defense in the world, but if the team is getting out and running and they're getting stopped, you know, it's hard to match up and it's hard to guard, especially with the shooters we have, the players we have. So, you know, if we can rebound the ball and control the offensive and defensive glass, it makes us really hard to beat.
Let's go with that. So we're eve of the start of the tournament. Thoughts about how ready you guys feel?
We will know tomorrow for sure. So it's different the day before and the day going to start. But I think we're pretty good. You can see the atmosphere is good. The guys are good. For some it's the first. For some it's four consecutive European championships. So I think everybody here is honored just to be able to represent our country in a competition like this. And I think that we're going to really give our best to show what we got.
You mentioned a couple in a row now. What's it like for you to be back in this tournament?
It's amazing. I know when I was younger, it was something that it was like a whisper in Macedonia, like a wish to play in European Championship. And now this is our fourth consecutive, and it's mine also fourth consecutive. I remember I was the youngest guy in the team, 2009 when we played. I remember 2011, I was still one of the youngest guys, and now I'm the second oldest guy in the team. So it's a completely different role for me now, and it's a little bit strange, but I think it's going to be okay.
How are you taking that role? I mean, like you said, you know, there were some leaders before, and, you know, Toror and Pero are gone now, and, you know, you're one of the leaders. How are you taking on that role? I mean, you know, people, you know, those young guys will look up to you and say, you know, you were one of the guys that had that magical run.
Well, for me, it's so, like I said, it's an honor to be the second oldest guy in the team, especially because we have really talented young big man on my position, and I want to be like some kind of a mentor for him. He's 20 years old, it's going to be his first, and I'm hoping in 9 years later than from now, he's going to have his fourth consecutive, and you're going to ask him these questions, how it's, and I'm just trying to be, you know, a good leader on and off the court, you know, just to help the guys. I think everybody here has their own role, everybody knows what they're supposed to do, they have their own place in the team, and I think that's one of the good things about us. We don't have ego trip. We all need to score 20 points. We know who needs to score, who needs to run, who needs to fight. We all need to fight. I mean, that's how it's supposed to be played. So I think it's good.
Talk about him. You mentioned, you know, he's 20, and you know, there needs to be a generation, you know, change over time. And, you know, he's going to be one of the leaders, you know, most likely. What do you see in him? What has he been able to do?
Oh, he's. Unfortunately for him, Macedonian league is not that followed, you know, not many players or coaches follow him, but I know that if he got the chance to play in this championship, he's going to show everybody that for his size, he's unbelievably athletic. For a big man, he can run, he can jump. So I'm hoping some of my experiences that I got through the year, I'm just going to help him put that in his game, and that he's going to be one of the best big men in the years to come, because I think he's got the talent for that.
Bo has been such a big name for you guys this time. It's Richard Hendricks, you know, different position, different expectations probably for him within the team. What are you guys expecting from him?
Well, him and Bo are completely different. I think Bo was really the leader of that team. Like, Bo was the player, when you need the points, he's going to give you points. When you need to create something, when we're in a lost position and to make something crazy, to lift the team, Bo will do that. I think Richie is more team player who will play hard in defense, grab rebounds, put his body in defense where it's supposed to be, make good screens, roll, dunk, score under the basket. Also, unbelievable experience. He's more experienced now than Bo was, so he's contributing more with his experience. Also, he's younger than me, but we can, because we are roommates, we are talking, we, you know, give advice to each other how to play off and on, because we play together and we change each other. So because he's playing 4 and 5, and I think experience-wise, he's completely different dimension than Bo.
Expectations for you guys, you know, you're in a group, you know, there's the big three, if you will, you know, that seem to be kind of headed for the second knockout stage, and then there's kind of like you three guys, you know. What are the expectations going into this tournament?
I think everybody is aware that everybody plays basketball now, even the big three, they know that they have to work 100% on every game to win every game. Nobody's gonna show up and win the game without playing it. So everybody knows that
if you play good, if you play your game, if you play your heart out, you always have a chance to win, no matter who you play against. Or if you underestimate the other opponent and he plays 100%, you have no chance to win. So in every game, everybody has to bring their best to win, and that's all. That's all you need in basketball. Just bring your best and give your heart in the court.
There was a coaching change. It was really early in the preparations. How much of an impact has that had on you guys?
It had a big impact on the beginning, especially for the younger guys that were here last year. They just started with the national team. They were put in the national team from the former coach, and it was a little shock for them. But you know, as time goes by, we spend more and more time with our current coach. I think, you know, you stop thinking about this. You realize you need to focus on this. What's bygones be bygones. Like, we cannot change how we feel or what happened. We just have to focus on what's coming. We're all professionals. Unexpected things happen in life and in basketball, so we have to deal with that and just try to keep our focus on what's in front of us and what we need to do.
To have success in this tournament, what do you guys need to do?
We need to be concentrated, I think. I think we have experience, but we're going to be underestimated even more than we were in Lithuania, and we have to accept that role and show everybody that we can play. I think we have a lot of players who are not well known in Europe, and they got game to show. And I think if everybody stays focused and hungry to win and to show themselves, I think we have something to prove.
Hey Kostas, we're back again. Eurobasket 15. Thoughts about being here?
Well, of course, playing in the Eurobasket with your national team, representing your country, is the best honor you can have in your life, in your career. We're here in a nice arena. We start tomorrow playing against Firm. You know, we wanna have a good start, but we know it's not gonna be easy. We have to be concentrated. We have to do what the coaches want us to do inside the court, and just be ready to play the game.
You guys had some good success in the preparation, a couple of losses as well. Where do you guys feel that you're at right now?
Well, we're in a pretty decent level. We're very good, you know, but we just need to keep improving, you know, game by game. This kind of tournaments, you know, the teams have to keep playing better and better as the tournament moves on. This is what we want to do, starting from tomorrow, starting to have a good game, play a tough game, take the win, and then just keep on going from there on.
What do you think about the difference in this tournament now, whereas you play the first round and go directly to knockout, where there's always been that second round of games? What do you think about the difference of this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's for sure it's more quick, you know, like it's or you make it or you go home, you know. But for us, all we have to do right now is just start from tomorrow's game and just keep our concentration on tomorrow's game. This is where everything starts, and that's all that we have to think about right now.
You guys have only reached the quarterfinals once since you finished third in 09. What kind of expectations do you and the team have coming into this thing?
Well, like you said, it's been a long...
Surprisingly.
Yeah. It's been a lot of years come by, you know, since the last medal, but it's not what we have on our mind right now. We just want to, like I told you before, keep improving game by game and playing better game by game. That's all we have in our mind. We want to look at one opponent at a time, you know, one game at a time, and just be ready every day to give our heart and our soul on the court.
Spinoza is back in the mix this year. What's it like having Billy back on board?
Everybody knows who Billy is, so there's not much you can say about it, you know. Like, of course, he's a big asset for us. I think it's the leader of this team, you know, and everybody, and he knows how to carry a team and how to give his best for the team, and all together we want to do something good. That's why he's here, that's why we're here. We want to fight and make something good happen.
How much of a difference do you see in Ante Kakombo here after seeing, you know, playing with him last year, and then seeing him in the NBA and then seeing him back here in the camp? I mean, obviously he looks physically stronger, but you know, maybe just general how you think he's changed, improved, matured?
Of course, 1 year is 1 year of experience. He got more playing time in the NBA this season. That helped him a lot, and I think sky high is the limit for this kid, you know. He's amazing. He's a great character. He's a great worker, you know. He keeps working every day. And I think if he keeps improving that way and keeps working that hard, you know, a lot of things are going to happen for him and for our national team and for our country and for his family and for himself too. Like I told you, he's a great guy. He has a great character, and I think he's going to make a lot of stuff for Greece and for himself and for his family.
How important is it that you have Kofos there, you know, also to give another big guy that you don't have to rely as much on Barusis?
Well, Kostas is making like huge steps the last years in the NBA. He improved a lot. He got a contract showing what I said for the next 3 years from Sacramento. So for sure he's a big player for us. We really need him. We needed him last year too. But now we have him here. Like you said, he's gonna help Giannis a lot, and I think we're gonna be great. These two guys gonna do a great duo.
Last time we talked was before you were on your way to the NBA. You have a year of the NBA behind you. How did it go? What did you think about it? What did you learn? How was it? Maybe different, better, worse than what you thought?
Of course, it's different. You know, like it's totally not what you're used to here in Europe. You know, it's a new life, it's a new world, it's a new experience. I've enjoyed it. The whole season was amazing. Of course, my first half was even better because I was playing too. Second half, you know, some injuries, some trades didn't go the way I expected to. But this is the NBA. You just have to be patient, keep working hard, and be ready for your next opportunity.
What's the biggest thing you take from that whole experience?
The way they work, the way they proceed, like the way they play the game. You know, it's like more physical in here, more speed. You know, they're more athletic, and they compare all that with their thinking and the mind. You know, they read and they do a lot of stuff in the court, and but the most important is the speed of the game. That's the most important.
Is that going to help you here?
I hope.
With that experience?
I hope, but I'm here to help my team. I'm here to do what my team wants me to do. So that's all I care about. If my team needs 1 minute, I will be there for them 1 minute. If my team needs 40 minutes, I will be there for 40 minutes. Whatever they want, whatever my coaches want, so we can make something good happen. You can have 12 players on a high level and be everybody happy. Somebody has to be good for the team and look the best for the team.
We've chatted a lot over the years. I know your generation quite well, it's Lucas and Matsaris and everybody. They spent the last two summers watching Papagiannis and Haralambopoulos. What do you think about about those guys? What do you think about the job they were able to do, and what kind of expectations maybe do you, the generation that they may have looked up to, what do you kind of have of expectations for them?
Well, first of all, they showed to Europe, you know, and to the world with the World Championship in Creta that Greek basketball still is here, you know, and has a lot of kids working hard and being on a high level. Second of all, like, we know basketball is in our life. Greek has the DNA of basketball, so it's good to see young kids having successes and be ready to come up to the next level, you know, and eventually at some point be here and be the one who's gonna represent their country and represent us all.
Last question, what do you guys have to do to be successful here at this tournament?
Just be all together, be a family. We have a great chemistry. We have to show that on the court too. Play one for each other, sacrifice everything for the team, dive for a ball, give our soul on the court. That's the most important. And just look one game at a time. We won one game, okay, we'll go to the next. We lost one game, okay, we'll go to the next. You don't have, it's the way the tournament is, you don't have like days to sit and think and make a scouting, what happened, why. All this, you have to let it back after the game, you know, and just go on the next game.
Okay. Yeah, great stuff. You know, obviously, I obviously had to get the question into Papanikolaou about the other generation of guys that I've been following, you know, this summer, Papagiannis and Haralambopoulos and company. So otherwise, but really great stuff. I think it gives you a good picture of things here, even though most of those interviews were actually done before the tournament actually started. But I don't think that really has too much of an impact. I think they're all I think they're all pretty valuable and provide some really great information. Okay, so next week, obviously, we're going to focus again more on the Eurobasket. I did want to go over to the FIBA Americas. They are one game day from going to the semifinals, and since we had Alvar Martín on last week, and since there's a lot of great players, huge teams in this tournament, kind of wanted to go back and let you guys know in case you haven't been following much of it. So Argentina is still undefeated. They beat Canada, which I believe we had already. Yeah, that game had already taken place while we talked to when I talked to Martín. So Argentina is still undefeated at 6-0. Canada is 5-1. And they just knocked off hosts Mexico, and Mexico obviously being hosts, and you know, they had four guys in double figures, Andrew Wiggins with 17, and they actually had up 8 guys with at least 7 points, so really doing a good job. Again, that's in the victory over Mexico, 94-73, you know, they did a good job holding Ion to just 8 points, but a lot of balance, 22 assists. Shot 52% from 3-point range. Didn't watch the game, but you know, just kind of going through some stats. I think a really impressive victory considering the age of Canada. I believe they have 8. One, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 guys, 24 or under. So a great victory on the road against the host team in a hostile environment. Quite impressive performance, winning by, what was it? What did I just say? I think it was 21 or 19? 21 points against the host team, hostile environment. So impressive performance by Canada. Mexico is 5-1, so they came into that game, which was in the second group stage, undefeated. It goes Argentina 6-0, 5-1 Canada and Mexico, and then you have Dominican Republic, Venezuela, and Puerto Rico all 2-4, fighting for the fourth spot in the semifinals. And you know, Mexico still play against Argentina, and if Mexico can actually pull off that victory, Canada would actually avoid Mexico until the final. Otherwise, if Argentina beat Mexico, Canada will play against Mexico again in the semifinals. Which would be a real shame that Canadians would have to beat Mexico again in order to get to the final. But you know, that's the way things happen. But I did want to FIBA Americas website. They ran a interview. They ran a press conference with Steve Nash, who the GM of the team of Canada basketball. And I wanted to, I figured there's a lot of great stuff in there, and I wanted to kind of, I was just going to play the full press conference. It's about 13 minutes or so. And bear with that. There's one question in Spanish, the answer is translated. Steve Nash's answer is also translated back into Spanish. So bear with that. One that one little bit. Otherwise, there's lots of great stuff in there, and I figured that for people who might not have seen it, that it'd be good to have that on the show. So here is the press conference with Canada basketball GM Steve Nash at the FIBA Americas in Mexico.
So we're here with Steve. What I've told them is that we're going to do question in English, and if you answer in English, that's okay. We're not going to translate because we have short time. So we're going to start right away with questions. First question, please.
That's Doug Smith, the Toronto Star. Steve, are you surprised at the accelerated progress this young team has shown here so far?
Good question. I feel like this is what I envisioned. You know, there was moments when maybe I wasn't sure it was going to come along this crisply. You know, I think. Yeah, I thought this would be the curve. I mean, we had a timid game against Argentina, who are very good. Otherwise, we played well in Puerto Rico, and we've played well since. So, I don't think I'd even go as far as pleasantly surprised, but I've enjoyed the heck out of it for sure.
Thank you. Second question up here, front.
Steve, does that change your? I mean, not to get too far ahead of the too far ahead of things, but you're in the semis. Presuming you can advance to Rio next year, does it change your outlook at what's possible 2016, or is 2020 still kind of the timeline you look for at this group? And I reference that, like Argentina, you know, they were very quickly up to their peak years after winning at FIBA Americas in 2001.
But you could also make the argument that we beat that same Argentina team in 99, that we're probably in a more similar state to our group. So they rose quickly, but they were really, in some ways, unlucky to not have gotten through instead of us that year. You know, I'm not saying we didn't deserve it or it wasn't our moment, but I think they got better as the tournament went on, and fortunately for us, we beat them in the first game. So we avoided the U.S. in the semifinal. But back to our squad, I think, you know, sky's the limit. Obviously, we have a tremendous amount of talent. We have great depth and balance. But again, it's always in the details. And I think the biggest thing this tournament for us is just continuing to grow, because we obviously, I think, on any night could beat anybody, but we could also get beat. Especially in a one-off like that, so it's going to be a new experience for our guys, an invaluable experience for them, and you know I'm confident that they can pull through, but definitely you know, going to be an immensely difficult game for us.
Steve, right here, Fernando Tirado from ESPN. What would you consider would be a key for this stage in the tournament? Canada has all the players averaging double digits in minutes. Mexico has the two players with most minutes in the tournament, like with Ayon and Hernandez, and fresh legs with the youngest team in the tournament.
Well, I think, you know, it's in some ways the story of our team. We're very inexperienced. We have very few collective experiences together. I think we've been together 3.5 weeks as a group today. So we suffer in some ways in roles and relationships and team building and common experiences, but at the same time we have great depth and we're young. So the battle of attrition is hopefully going to be on our side, but you never know what happens from a day-to-day basis in a tournament with you know, this amount of games in a short period of time. Anything's possible. So we just got to stay in the moment and keep improving, and we're on the right path right now.
Steve, Jermaine Franklin with TSN. You just mentioned the youth and inexperience. How much can a game, or should a game like this tonight, given the environment against the host nation, help this team moving forward, win or lose tonight?
It's a great opportunity for our young guys to play in a true hostile international environment. They're going to grow from it regardless of the result. And, you know, they'll learn a lot about themselves tonight. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity.
Hello, Steve. You've been named the GM of Canada. Andrei Kirilenko recently was named president of the Russian Basketball Federation. Scola is very involved right now with the Argentine Federation. Do you think this is becoming a trend? And do you think being former players helps you even better than guys who have no previous basketball experience in these matters?
Well, I don't think it's a new trend. You know, I think we've seen this probably from the beginning of time as far as basketball goes. It's pretty natural, I think, for ex-players who have been out there and experienced it to be able to share their experiences and help shape a program. You know, there's also, I think, a diplomatic role where it helps to have somebody who people recognize and have seen out there playing for their country. You know, I would never say that a player has more ability to lead his federation than someone else, but there's going to be some obvious advantages from their standpoint.
En español, William, para que yep. se la traduzcas. Quisiera saber cómo, sin duda que esta generación de jugadores de Canadá ha sido bien importante, cómo ha hecho Canadá para desarrollar estos jugadores, teniendo en cuenta que no tiene una liga profesional tan fuerte, tan conocida, cómo ha hecho para armar toda esa estructura.
He's asking and given. Oh, Steve, actually understand. Do you understood?
No.
Okay.
I'd rather make sure.
So how you have this great generation right now? How does Canada basketball develop these kinds of players without having a solid national league or a national, or, yeah. you know, a competition that's consistent?
That's the biggest challenge for our federation is that we don't have a tremendous culture when it comes to our national team. We've always, over the years, tried to piece it together. Guys coming in from all over the place. Our guys don't traditionally come up playing in clubs in our country or in our system. So it's definitely a different model than the rest of the countries or the majority of countries in international basketball. So, you know, we have to make the most of what we're good at. And we've got a lot of young, talented athletes who are going to play in the NBA. And hopefully their experiences against the best players in the world will allow them to overcome their inexperiences playing in FIBA. So, you know, we do the best we can, and we're fortunate that we got some tremendous players right now, but also great people that are willing to represent their country.
Sí, dijo que es el gran reto que tiene Canadá Basketball ahora. O sea, no es, a lo largo de su historia no ha habido una tradición y una cultura de tener jugadores que se nutren de un sistema propio de país, que vienen todos de otros lados, que ha sido diferente a otro tipo de países que quizás tienen una cultura o una liga nacional como tú bien mencionas, pero que han tenido mucha suerte en que tienen atletas talentosos que se nutren del sistema de la NBA, obviamente estando tan cerca, y que pues bueno, a eso él le atribuye, es una generación talentosa, y que Canadá Basketball hace lo mejor que puede para desarrollar ese tipo de generación y con la suerte que le ha tocado de tener ese tipo de talento en su banco.
Hi Steve, speaking or specifically about you, about yourself, how hard or how easy has been for you to make this transition from being a very successful NBA player to now being this new role as GM of Canada Basketball? I mean, has it been hard or easy, or tell us about that?
Well, I think it's been relatively easy because of my role is I don't think is typical of a general manager. You know, we put together a team that can move the program forward. I think that I can give top level remarks or visions or get involved in the minutia, and basically I'm allowed to play a role that maybe other people can't play in some areas, but in other areas I'm, you know, I think just one of the team. And so it's been something that I think has been fairly fluid because we've got a team of people that are really comfortable together. I played for our head coach. Our assistant GM who runs the program for me was my teammate, and we put a lot of people that we're very comfortable with around us that are extremely qualified. So it's made my job over glorified and very, I don't know, doable, so to speak.
Steve, hello, how are you? Here.
Hi.
I'm from Argentina. I know that you went to Buenos Aires some months ago, and you went to the Bombonera Stadium. I want to know something about your trip in my country and what do you feel about Boca Juniors and La Bombonera, first question. And the second, what happened if Canada won't go to the Olympic Games?
Well, for the first question, Buenos Aires is one of my favorite cities. It's an amazing place with an incredible culture and history. So I'm always up for a trip back to Buenos Aires. And yeah, it was an incredible experience to go to the Bombonera and see El Superclásico. It's pretty inexplainable to other people who haven't been there. So it was a really nice highlight of my year. If Canada doesn't qualify for the Olympics, we stay the course. You know, we keep building and we keep growing and we put ourselves in a position to succeed for the World Championship qualifying in 2 years. But you know, we have plans to continue to develop our young players. You know, starting at the age of 12. So that's, you know, a big part of this. It's continuing to develop talent and hopefully as we continue to sustain that talent level through our age groups, we'll also be able to build a culture with our national team that will eventually succeed.
Two more questions right here in the front.
Eric Kareen, National Post. Things have been going so well over the last 5 games. What makes you most nervous right now?
I mean, the only thing that we are playing against is experience. And you go and you play one game to go to the Olympics, anything can happen for the most experienced team. So it's for a precocious team like ours, you never know what'll happen, but it's exciting. I mean, the other thing that I think everyone has to worry about is attrition, which is, I think, less of a concern for us because of our youth and depth, and injuries. And knock on wood that nobody in the whole tournament gets hurt before Friday, but those things are possible too. So, you know, I try not to worry about things I can't control. All I can do is make sure I'm really comfortable courtside and be the best cheerleader I can be.
Steve, you mentioned, touched on this earlier, but the idea of having common experiences as a team and as a group, maybe just touch on the significance of that and how important it was in the success of your team when you were playing and where you see these guys on that curve and how these 2 weeks or 3 weeks fit into that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for an anecdote, I think, you know, you look at Miami Heat, LeBron's first year, and they lose to Dallas in the finals. You know, I felt that going in. That, you know, you just don't have those common experiences when you look around the room or you look around the floor in a tight third or fourth quarter and know, okay, we've been here before, and you have that common resolve and understanding. But it's the same for our group. We hope that we will have accumulated enough to get by if those moments come, and they should come. But they're really, you can't cheat experience. So hopefully we'll play extremely well and experience won't be as big a factor on the night. You know, maybe we'll be tested in our resolve and toughness and things of that nature more so, and we'll survive.
Okay, so thank you, Steve, for being with us. Thank you for, muchas gracias.
De nada. Thank you, everybody.
All right, so now that is a packed show. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different voices, 6 different interviews/press conference. Pretty great stuff. If I don't say so myself, I think I think we can call that a successful 3-year anniversary show. It's not almost 4 hours like the two year was, but it'll do. I'm gonna actually leave it at that. I don't tire of saying thank you to the people out there who listen to the show and give me support. One guy said that he listened to one of the show 3 times, one with Brandon Rooney. Regularly I get it, you know, yeah, it's helps me get through my commute or through my run. Anytime anybody says anything, it's to me about the show, it's fantastic, great feedback, and gives me motivation to keep on cruising. So, thanks again. Again, like I said, I'm not going to be going away, so keep on enjoying it. Obviously, basketball, lots of great stuff going on. You have FIBA Americas going, getting down to the big time games, and the Eurobasket basically right there as well. And so some fantastic stuff going on. Some big signings in Europe still going on. So, you know, plenty of stuff to watch, listen, read about. So last thing, obviously, we're going to a special song today. It's a song called By the Lakeside, and it is by Katie Day. If you can't figure it out by the first chorus, you know, it's a tribute to the Cubs, and this Cubs team right now is really driving me crazy. They're playing absolutely amazing baseball, and it's scaring the bejeebies out of me that they might actually go into these playoffs and have a serious chance of doing something great. And it scares me so much as a Cubs fan who's been hurt and so many times. I came across this song, and it's been on it's been on heavy rotation even here in Zagreb. It's available. So I contacted Katie, and she says, yeah, sure, go for it. Put it on the show. Fantastic. And so it is available. Again, the song is called By the Lakeside, and it's by Katie Day, and it is available on katiedaymusic.com. Katie, K-A-T-I-E, daymusic.com. So go over there. She's got some other stuff out there, so it's really good as well. So with that, again, thank you very much, and we will catch you next week.
It's been a long time coming, feeling like 100 years. Rain all summer, the sun in the air. I'm feeling, baby, you can dry your tears away, away. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes, when the stars align. We're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes, when the stars align. We're gonna pop champagne, gonna pop champagne by the lakeside. We'll be right back.
gonna pop champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes. When the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.
Hi, this is Patrick Bauman, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.